We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, good morning. Thank you, Alan. It is Hardline here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Joe Beamer, Brenda Alacy, and Lynn Dixon with us for the first hour. Ladies, good morning.
Morning.
Welcome, Lynn. So glad to have you in studio with us.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Our pleasure.
And right off the bat, we want to let you know, unlike Nate McMurray, the phone lines will be open this hour. So if you have a question for Lynn, 803-0930, and we didn't have to hide the text board. So the text board also still up, 3930. Get your questions in. And then, you know, at noon, you can go to the Bills pregame show.
This is kind of the pregame show.
We'll help you get to the game. We'll get you psyched up. We're psyched for the game as well. 2-0 Bills. All of Buffalo's pumped, right?
I can't wait.
How can you not be excited? But first, Lynn Dixon running against Mark Poloncarz. Now, we have to throw it out there. Mark Poloncarz was invited. He turned us down. Kind of like me asking for a prom date senior year. We got turned down by Mark Poloncarz. But great to have Lynn Dixon here.
Did you ask Mark out on the prom?
That's confidential information.
Oh, right. Okay. Not that there's anything wrong with it.
No.
No, Lynn, it is great to have you here.
Nice to be here.
And Lynn, you are an independent but running on the Republican line for the Erie County Executive Post. And it's been a few months now since you declared your candidacy. What have you learned so far?
I made the decision in February, and since that time, I've been getting out in all the communities across Erie County and just doing as much listening as anything, just to hear what people's concerns are and where they think county government is failing them. And you know, we live in a great community, and people that just make the decision to stay here or raise their families here are very invested in the community. They want to be here, and they want to see our community succeed as well. And so they want to have a voice. They want to have their concerns heard. And I don't think that those have always been heard over the course of the last few years. You know, I grew up in Amherst. My dad's a South Buffalo guy, and I grew up in Amherst. My mom is still in Amherst, and I've lived for the last 21 years in Hamburg. As a legislator, I've represented for the first 2 years a suburban rural district. For the last 8, have represented a suburban urban district. So I think I have a good feel of what the North Town's looking for, the South Town's looking for, the rural district, you know, the rural communities, the suburban, as well as the urban. I mean, I've worked in the city for most of my life after returning home to Buffalo.
What are you hearing from folks as you crisscross the county?
I will tell you the number one county issue with them is the roads. Absolutely, positively, it is the roads. They are very frustrated with the condition of the roads. Every year we allocate additional funds in the legislature that's left on the table. I see a scramble now in an election year to quickly do a lot of patching suddenly for communities that have been waiting for years to get a particular stretch of road done now in an election year suddenly, you know. And what they're doing, though, is really almost taking like a paintbrush to the roads. Even some of the contractors that I've spoken with have said, the road work that's being done is really just a Band-Aid. So now we are wasting more taxpayer dollars because we are putting a Band-Aid on a road that's going to, next year you're going to have to do repairs on it all over again. And so that's been a very frustrating, you know, part of where Erie County government has failed them.
It is funny, though, how the roads, you're right, it's an election year thing, but it seems even right after winter, right, we get the road crews out there, and it is just a Band-Aid. Because I mention this every time roads come up. Cayuga and Worley in Amherst seems like they fix it every spring, and by, what month is it, September? I'm already spilling my Tim Hortons coffee all over me when I get out of the drive-thru. Is that something you think, in your administration, that would be one of the first things to tackle, would be getting a permanent fix to these streets? I understand salt. I understand that we wear our roads more, but it's not just Buffalo that uses salt in the winter. But I've driven through a lot of cities, and most of them aren't as bad on your car as Erie County.
Joe, there's not a great maintenance plan in place or a long-term plan. So you know, what roads are we doing 3 years from now, 5 years from now? In the village of Hamburg, and I realize it's a small, you know, much smaller number of road miles they take care of, but it's a smaller smaller public works department too. But I know 2 years from now this road is getting done, and 3 years from now that road is getting done, and there's a maintenance plan. I feel like right now we don't have a strong maintenance plan in place where we are doing the ditching, we are taking the water from the roadways, which, you know, leads to more deterioration, and then the road work becomes more and more expensive. I will use Lake Avenue in the village of Blaisdell because I represent that area. There was design work done on Lake Avenue a decade ago, and then Mark Poloncarz took over and he put that design work on the shelf. He had other priorities. Fine. I sent a letter to him in June of 2012 saying Lake Avenue is a mess. Please, it needs to be addressed. In 2016, the Erie County Legislature approved the funding to do the work for Lake Avenue. Talk of what it was going to look like, work on Lake Avenue originally till now, has changed very much. Work just started this past week, and they're not going to complete it this year. It's already late September. So here we have this. It's been 10 years. And the village of Blaisdell for 2 years in a row did not have a Memorial Day parade because it was too dangerous for people to walk on. That is completely unnecessary. And road, you know, fixing roads should not be a Republican-Democrat thing. It's a public safety.
Well, I can tell you, you know, we all have our experiences, and I drive up and down Maple Road in Amherst every day, at least twice a day, and it has been a disaster. And you worry about the suspension on your car, you worry about, you know, ruining a tire, you worry about the safety for people who are biking or crossing those streets. Lynn, where do you think the problem is? I mean, why does something so basic seem so difficult to fix?
It's not a priority for this county executive, and it needs to be. I think that the funding is not there. You know, every year money is left on the table, and then in an election year it is spent. So it's not a priority for him. There's no long-term maintenance plans in place to, you know, preserve the life of a road. And that's, you know, that's a big problem. I mean, we have 1,200 county road miles. We don't have some benefactor that can come in right and say, I'll take care of the roads for you. It is our responsibility. And it is a public safety issue.
Absolutely. Joe?
When we come back, more questions, obviously, from Brenda and I. And hopefully you at 803-0930. Yeah, give us a call. I had something witty to come up with, and I lost it in my delivery. So you know what? We'll go to break.
It's more coffee, Joe. More coffee.
It's these Monster Energies, Brenda. Let me tell you. They're great for you. We'll be back. It is Hardline with me, Joe Beamer, and Brenda Alacy, as well as Lynn Dixon, after this on WBEN. Yes, for you playing at home, there was a theme with the first two songs on this episode of Hardline. We'll see if you can figure it out. 803-0930, your questions for Lynn Dixon. Brenda, I believe you had a question.
You know, Lynn, and it's so great to have you here. And if you have questions for Lynn, she's open to it. She'll take your calls. We're going to read texts if they're pertinent to our discussion, 803-0930. So, Kevin, hang on. We're coming to you next. But, Lynn, I wanted to ask you about some mailings that you heard about from three or four different people. There was a letter to the editor about mailings that were sent out by your opponent. What have you heard about that in regard to the roads?
So when a road project is being done, the Department of Public Works sometimes will send out notices to residents who live along that road, just advising them that construction is going to begin on such and such a date. But these mailings were sent by Mark Poloncarz with a nice photo of Mark, and clearly just not a notice alerting residents, but more of a piece of campaign literature. And those are public dollars that are being spent because those are, you know, taxpayer dollars that fund the Department of Public Works and fund those mailings that go out. So, again, in my opinion, it's another election year tactic. Again, we are scrambling to, the county executive creates the chaos and then comes in to fix the chaos, and the roads have been in a chaotic state. So, and he has sent out these mailings, and it very much appears as though it's campaign literature, and that's a big problem for me.
Let's head up to Pendleton and talk with Kevin. Good morning, Kevin. Welcome.
Yeah, good morning, ladies. Good morning, Joe. Lynn, I guess you kind of answered earlier on that. You're on the conservative line also, right?
That's correct, Kevin. I am, yes. The Republican, conservative, and independence lines. And then there's a minor party line called the SAM line that there's some court action underway right now, but I should be on that line as well.
Okay. And later on, I'll listen offline, but you can also tell us what's up with that court action with SAM. But here's my, as an independent, as Joe and Brenda knows that I am at the moment, I wanted to ask you, what is your opinion and feeling about fusion voting? To me, it's like a double-edged sword, and I almost signed on the line to become a conservative with the Conservative Party, but then the Conservative Party went after your opponent when he first ran. They went cap in hand begging him to take their endorsement, and that's why a lot of us don't have any faith in the electoral process and the system. I'll listen offline and listen to what's your opinion about this. Thanks again.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for the question. And I am a minor party. I am registered with a minor party. So in my opinion, you know, I think the challenge sometime when you have Republican, Democrat, is you're forcing somebody to wear one jersey or the other, and you're forcing them into one corner or the other. And I think, you know, the idea with fusion voting, in my opinion, is that it gives people more options and gets to see, you know, some of the other lines that support you and your candidacy, and that you don't have to be all this all the time or all that all the time. And, you know, at the end of the day, politics is politics. But when you're in office, it should be about the people and purpose and, you know, about good government. And that shouldn't be defined by what letter is next to your name.
What made you decide to run as an independent, though, Lynn? Was it that way of thinking?
I've always been a registered independent. You know, it goes back to my days in journalism. And and it is that way of thinking where, you know, you're supposed to do the work of the people. And you're not supposed to leave communities out of work getting done in their community because it's, you know, either ruled by a Democrat or, you know, or super, you know, the supervisor happens to be a Republican or supervisor happens to be a Democrat. That's not how good government is. We pay taxes. We expect services for the taxes that we pay. And we expect government to be there for the right reasons, not for power and not for politics.
Lynn, what do you say about the current county executive? And if this question, you can decline this question if you want. But what do you say about the current county executive's use of Twitter? It seems he likes to use Twitter for a little more than just the county executive position. He's very vocal on his opinion of outside county topics, including the president and other state politics. What do you say about that? And would you use your Twitter the same way?
You know, the job of Erie County Executive, it's a big job. There's a lot of responsibilities that go with it. And there are a lot of things that you need to manage with commissioners in place that are qualified to be in those positions. When you look on Twitter and you see all day, every day, somebody tweeting, a county executive tweeting on every other issue, makes you wonder, are they taking their eye off the ball and what they should be focused on? And, you know, I don't care what Mark Poloncarz thinks about the Paris Climate Accord. I care about what Mark Poloncarz is doing about taking care of our parks and our roads and those sorts of things. And so I think that, and I don't think you govern by Twitter. Now, can you use Twitter or any other social media as an effective way of just letting people know about things that are happening, just as a non-political, here's what's going on, you know, FYI? Sure. But, you know, weighing in on all sorts of issues. And by the way, he has weighed in on a number of issues over the years and has gotten quieter over the course of the last couple months and kind of distancing himself too from the governor, where before he was, you know, lockstep with him always. And with any controversial thing that comes out of the state right now, right, he's suddenly being silent, which I find to be a little bit unusual.
Yeah, someone who was very vocal, like you said, just a few months ago, when he was asked about, for example, the license issue, he kind of deferred, stayed away from the media, and then just let Mickey Kearns make a position on it. 803-0930, we've got news coming up, but first, let's go to Bill in Eden. Bill, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Joe. Good morning, Brenda. And good
morning,
Lynn. I'm very positive for Lynn, and I'm glad. I don't usually wear pink, but I wear my pink T-shirt for Lynn. I just wanted to say, Lynn, in your advertising and in your campaigning, please stay positive, because I already saw one of those commercials for Mark Poland cars seems to be like a little negative, showing you like with Atari or something from the past. But and I also want you to please uphold the laws of the United States. I do not want a county executive who tries to tell PHI, people here illegally, how to beat the system and stay away from ICE if they come looking for them.
Hi, Bill, and thank you for the call. And Bill is referencing a tweet that Mark put out a while ago advising immigrants who are not here legally, if ICE comes to their door, what they need to do or what they should do to escape deportation or capture. I agree that there are laws in place that need to be followed. I have been positive thus far. I was surprised that my opponent came out with a negative ad last week. As the 8-year incumbent, it's unusual for them to come out so early, negative so early. But that's okay. And for the record, you know, I didn't really appreciate disco as a little kid, but, you know, I have greater appreciation for it now.
A time in retrospect will do that,
exactly.
Right, Lynn? And by the way, real men do wear pink, Bill, so
exactly.
I admire that. Yeah. Lynn, is it difficult to not get negative when you feel like you're getting shot at left and right?
It's, you know, I think that there are many missteps by Mark Poland cars over the years. And I think it's important to point those out because sometimes they haven't been told in the public or in the media or whatever. And so I think it's important to point out so that when you make a decision, it's a decision based on the facts. And so while you don't like to go, personal attacks, I think, are horrible, but I think addressing somebody based on where they stand on issues or what they've done or what they haven't done or where their support, you know, I think that those are valid things to just highlight because I think there are differences between us.
There should be part of the political discourse, right? Isn't that
Absolutely.
What it's all about with
yes.
our democracy? Yes. Joe, I know we've got to head over to the news booth in just a moment here.
That's right. I think Alan might be finishing up a traffic update for the Bills Radio Network. But when we come back, we're going to talk parks. We're going to take your calls at 803-0930. So if you're hanging on, stay on hold. We'll get to you. Also, going to talk about keeping people in Erie County, something that's been quite difficult over the last few years. It's hard.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Find more after this. Welcome back. Hardline here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Ladies, what do you say? Let's get right back into it. Right to the phone lines, 803-0930. Joe, it'd be good if you turned the music down. Let's go to Gary in Lancaster. Gary, good morning.
Good morning. How are you? Good morning to Brendan, Joe, and Lynn, of course.
Hey, Gary, welcome. Thanks for calling in.
And, I just wanted to comment. Lynn, I had the pleasure of crossing paths with you when I was at the media with United Press International and with Reuters, and you were always a person of integrity and well-versed. So I'm glad. I think it's a perfect fit what you're running for. You mentioned things about roads and money left on the table, and that really caught my attention. Your last caller, Bill, talked about integrity in government, and I'd like to see somebody like that, like yourself, in that position. So I just wanted to make a comment. What kind of plan do you have for the roads and for any kind of disasters? I know you work well with people. I'll just sit back and listen now.
Well, Gary, thank you very, very much for your kind comments. With respect to the roads, again, right now there is no long-term maintenance plan. We need a 10-year plan. So that regardless of who the county executive is, and to take the politics out of road work, that you know where everything is going to be 1 year down the road, so to speak, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, so that there is a plan in place to do road reconstruction where necessary, to do the road repairs and the maintenance. And the maintenance, there has to be a more aggressive plan toward the maintenance of the roads. And the funding for the roads, it's not been a priority. It simply hasn't. So I think you make funding for roads and road repairs a priority. And so if you're putting more money and more effort toward that work, you're guaranteeing the long-term health of the road, if you will. And it doesn't become such a costly reconstruction project.
Outstanding answer. And the other thing was just about the Erie County Parks. Lancaster, for years, for the lake to get dredged. And, why is there such a taxpayer money on really important things?
You know, I was at Como Lake Park yesterday, actually. It's funny because Mark Poloncarz 8 years ago in his campaign emphasized roads and parks. And 8 years later, here we are talking about the condition of roads and parks. And parks, those belong to you. And we need to maintain them. We need to keep, when you go into a bathroom and there are no stalls, there are no working stalls, that's a problem. Now, you know, I understand vandalism and that's hard, but again, it's about priorities. And I know this county executive has brought over plans to add bodies to the parks and the park rangers and whatnot, but we haven't put an investment into the actual parks themselves and doing the work in the parks themselves. And as a result, we are not seeing, and we have so many beautiful parks in Erie County, but we're not seeing the maintenance of them that needs to be there.
Gary, thanks very much for throwing your two cents into the conversation. We appreciate it. Lynn, as far as the parks go, when you talk about the beauty of them and the obvious issues, for example, restrooms are such an obvious issue, would you allocate, say, X number of dollars per budget for parks, or how would you make it different than the current situation?
Well, again, I think it's, you know, the proper funding for parks and where necessary to do the capital through the capital budget to take care of the parks in terms of the structures themselves. And we haven't seen that. We haven't seen the investment in parks that I think a lot of people believed was promised to them 8 years ago.
And if you'd like to text in, of course, you're welcome to do so at 30930. And Frank in Williamsville did just that. And he said, I would like Lynn to highlight what her responsibilities are as county executive. I have no idea what roads are county and what roads are state roads. Can you explain? Good question, Frank. I think a lot of us are confused by those roads, which is which.
You know, it's funny because I understand that. You know, certainly just the other day, I was talking to a gentleman who said, well, Lake Avenue in Blaisdell is getting fixed and Camp Road in front of St. Francis High School is getting fixed. And I said, well, Camp Road's a state road. And so while I realize it is hard to know what the difference is, when there is a road that's a county road, I mean, what troubles me is people say to me, I know which road's a county road because it's the worst road I'm driving on. And you don't want to hear that either. So, you know, if you have an issue with a road in your community, my recommendation would be to reach out to your legislator or to the county executive's office to voice your complaint. Now, if there are a number of complaints and concerns voiced about a particular road and nothing's being done about it, that's a problem. And so... You know, so that work needs to get done. But I realize it's hard for people to know which is which. But what I would suggest is when there is a road that you see as a problem, reach out to your local representatives, and they should direct you. If you call the town and it's not a town road, they should be able to direct you to your county representative.
All right, Lynn, let's talk a little more about parks and the lead paint that was exposed a little over a month ago. I did a whole show on this, by the way. And Fridays are for Beamer, 9 to noon. Most Fridays, mm-hmm. Not this Friday. Shameless plug.
Shameless plug. In effect, nice. Here.
But Mark Poloncarz did a huge press conference after Stefan Mihailu mentioned the lead paint in the parks. He actually said this in that press conference.
Most of the equipment is less than 10, 15 years old.
Well, that was a lie, because the very next day, the Buffalo News said 95% of the equipment was more than two decades old. Lynn, I have to ask you this question straight up. Did Mark Poloncarz put his feud with Stefan Mihailu ahead of the safety of people that visit those parks? And what would your plan for the parks be? Would you cover it up, or would you just get rid of the lead paint, no matter how less the lead paint is that's there?
Good government is about transparency, good, bad, and indifferent. And look, sometimes you're going to make mistakes, and sometimes you're not going to catch everything that you hope to catch. But it's not about pointing blame elsewhere. It's about accepting responsibility, taking care of it, and moving on. That right when all that lead paint issue was coming out about the equipment, Mark Poloncarz, that news conference, he held a hot dog roast after. I don't know if you recall that, if you're familiar with that, but he held a news conference at one of the shiny new shelters at one of the parks, and then he invited the media to a hot dog roast after. And this is right when they're announcing that there's lead paint on the equipment. So which is it? Is it a danger? Is it not a danger? Is it a concern? Is it not a concern? I think by doing that, you're just making light of what is a serious issue. And if that equipment has been there for decades, or if it, or whatever, if there's lead paint, that should have been priority number one. And Joe, I had a problem with, shortly after all this came out, Mark was having a golf fundraiser at Alma Meadows. And the shelter where the golf fundraiser was happening was all nicely cleaned and painted, and all the grooming was done all around there. Meanwhile, you looked across a few hundred yards and you would see equipment with tape wrapped around it. So what is the priority? Is it getting a shelter to look nice for a Mark Poloncarz fundraiser? Or is it actually taking care of the problem?
Yeah, don't pay attention over there. Just pay attention right here on the brand new shelter.
And it does beg the question, though, Lynn, with the roads being such a priority and the parks, you know, with a good number of those parks needing a lot of attention and potentially a way to stop the potential of lead poisoning, how do you decide how to allocate that money? What would you do specifically?
Well, again, I think everything with Erie County government is a matter of priorities. And what Mark has done over the course of the last several years is he keeps adding departments, he keeps adding new responsibilities and things that, you know, Erie County is now going to handle this and going to handle that. And, you know, when you're handling a million different things, you don't necessarily do anything well. And we have to get back to the business of what Erie County government is in place for. It is a service, human service form of government. It is a quality of life form of government. And so you make those things a priority through, whether it's through the staffing, whether it's through the funding, through the budget, through capital, you make those a priority. Those are quality of life issues for Erie County residents.
I want to talk to you about a bill that you were aware of back in an issue back in 2010, Lynn, when you were a legislator, and you came out against windmills 9 years ago. Do you still feel that way?
Absolutely. These wind turbines, when I first got into the legislature, at that time I represented a lot of the communities along the lake who were very much opposed to it. And we had a resolution at the county legislature at that time that passed 13-2, so in a bipartisan manner, opposing the wind turbines in Lake Erie. Lake Erie, next to the people, Lake Erie is the greatest asset in Lake Ontario. I mean, is the greatest asset to Western New York, right, is our fresh water. Why would we do anything to potentially jeopardize our Great Lakes? And with respect to the wind turbines, there are all kinds of questions. It's very expensive. What about the decommissioning down the road? Supposedly they have to be repowered every 2 to 3 years. You cannot store wind energy. Your rates actually go up. There's trenching. There's other pollutants that go in the air. There's not only the concern about, you know, what leaks into the water or whatever, but there's also, and we heard from an expert this past Thursday in the legislature about the noise pollution that impacts a lot of the wildlife. So there are so many issues, and I am not opposed to wind energy. I'm not opposed to renewable energy, but in the lakes, why? And my problem has been, in the legislature, we have a resolution that keeps getting tabled where we could take a stand and let the governor know where we stand as Erie County on putting so many wind turbines into the lake, and it still remains on the table. And I have not heard yet from Mark Poloncarz as to where he stands on wind turbines in Lake Erie.
So many more issues to get into, just a few minutes left, and we will take another quick break and back with Lynn Dixon about a subject near and dear to my heart, population loss in Erie County, and how that's been impacted, according to Lynn, by both Mark Poloncarz and Governor Andrew Cuomo. More after this.
All right, back here on Hardline, Joe Beamer, Brenda Alacy, and Lynn Dixon, who's agreed to go an extra 15 minutes. So keep on the phone lines. If you hold through the news, we will get right through the calls after the news with Alan Harris. Brenda?
Well, you know, Lynn, before the break, we talked about the, we made reference to the population loss and how there's an economic boom in this country with jobs and in this area. However, it's a bit of a conundrum in Erie County because there simply are not enough workers to fill the jobs. And your campaign tweeted about how you think some of that blame is attributable to both Mark Poloncarz's policies and Andrew Cuomo's policies. How do you mean?
Brenda, Buffalo's cold in winter. So is Chicago. So is Toronto. So are a number of other communities. You can't say that we don't have the success here that other parts of the country are enjoying because of our weather. Minnesota, Minneapolis as well. So then you have to look at the cost of doing business here and the cost of living here. Now, yes, Western New York is, you know, compared to some big cities across the country, you can still find a home that isn't going to break the bank, although that's getting more difficult as well. But it's the number of regulations that make it so difficult to do business here, the taxes you pay that make it so difficult to hold on to your money that you can reinvest back into the community where you live. These, they keep making it, and then when a business wants to come here, they tell you no 10 times before they tell you yes. We gave $750 million of taxpayer money to a billionaire on a hope and a wish, and then when you want to, when some smaller businesses are looking for a little bit of a break here and there, they won't give it to them. Like, what's wrong here? So we are making it very difficult for businesses to come here, to set up shop here, to stay here. We keep punishing people for doing the right thing. And we reward bad behavior and we punish good behavior. And then those that want to stay here but find it just economically unfeasible, you know, it's really troubling. And it doesn't have to be that way, but it is.
People have been handcuffed by high taxes in this area for decades. What would you do to change that? How can you change something that's so entrenched in the way the economy has been in Western New York for decades and decades?
You know, the challenge, first of all, at the state level, it's you know, we can only do what we can do at the state level, but we should call them out at every turn. I will just use as a quick example, DA John Flynn came into the county legislature this past Thursday to talk about the bail reform bill. And regardless of where you stand on the issue, and that's not even it, but it turns out that bail reform bill is going to cost county governments across New York State an additional $100 million to implement. And state lawmakers did not put any money into that bill to help fund those reforms. So for Erie County alone, it's going to cost an additional $1.2 million, okay, for next year to implement everything that needs to be done as a result. Same thing with the extension of the voting, the 10 days of voting or 9 days of voting. That's another $3 million. Now, the state's going to reimburse some of that, but not all of that. So, again, they pass these laws. Everything starts to cost more, and then they are not figuring out how they're going to fund it. They're just saying, yeah, good idea. We're passing it. So that's a challenge. But I can say, you know, we had the opportunity last December in the legislature to cut the property tax levy for the first time in over a decade. We had 6 of 11 sponsors to an amendment package that would have done that. That was on a Friday. On a Sunday, Mark Poloncarz met with one of the legislators, got him to turn his vote, and by Monday, we no longer had the votes to cut the property tax levy. And you can go to Erie.gov, you can go to Real Property, Google in your address, and you can find out how much your property taxes, your county taxes have gone up over the course of the last several years.
We've got to take a break for news in just a moment, Lynn, but you're kind enough to stay an extra 15 minutes with Joe Beamer and myself. I want to ask you, too, when you're out on the campaign trail, you said roads and parks are very high on the list of priorities that people talk to you about. But what about what we're talking about now when people say, hey, my kids have relocated to the South, to the Midwest, to the Southwest because of those taxes? I want to ask you how often you hear about that as well. Back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.